This is Industry Matters, powered by BGM, a post-acute healthcare podcast about community, connections, and belonging. BGM is a member service organization serving durable and home medical equipment providers and manufacturers. BGM also has communities for respiratory, complex rehab, women's health mastectomy, home accessibility, and orthotics and prosthetics. With BGM, you're part of something bigger. Welcome to Industry Matters. I'm Mandy Joyner, Senior Director of Marketing at BGM & Associates. In today's episode, I get the opportunity to discuss all things wound care with our Director of Wound Care, Heather Trum, and Rhonda Burmester, our Senior Director of Payer Relations and Reimbursement. We walk through billing, intake, wound care categories, and much more. Thank you, Rhonda and Heather, for spending some time with us today. Rhonda, please go ahead and tell our listeners a little bit about who you are.
Thanks, Mandy. Yes, this is Rhonda Burmester. I am the Senior Director of Payer Relations and Reimbursement, which is a big title, it seems like, but basically what that is I help our members in the different communities with billing, reimbursement, audit, policy, and sometimes just, you know, they look at operations from intake to billing process. So there's an array of things that fall under that title. So that's what I'm here for our members with BGM.
Awesome. Thank you, Rhonda. And Heather, how about you?
Hello, everyone. My name's Heather Trum. I am a wound ostomy nurse, and I am the director of wound care at BGM. My role is helping our members navigate through the waters of wound care and helping them operationally, logistically, get into that space of wound care, whether it be one of the many categories, or helping them elevate their business in the wound care space.
Awesome. Well, thank you both so much again for being here. And wound care is such a big topic, right? Like it feels like, oh, you're just caring for a wound. But as I've learned from both of you, it just encompasses so many things. And so we're going to talk about that today. Rhonda, I'm going to start with you. Tell me what it means to be successful in wound care. Everything from customer service, intake, education.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that.
Oh, gosh. And that is, that's a big task to fill. Just as you said, wound care in itself, when we talk wound care, we're talking surgical dressings, negative pressure, you know, support surfaces, and there could be many more depending on where the patient lies. But the most important piece is capturing information up front. So having a well-trained, a robust customer service. So I call them the front end. So it's everything from receiving that referral all the way through billing. That is a vital piece of any business, and especially in wound care, because it can be tedious getting the information that's needed to make sure that it meets the coverage criteria, whoever the payer is. We talk Medicare a lot, but whoever the payer is. So that intake team, that front end team, needs to be well-rounded in that knowledge of education, customer service, and being so comfortable that they can ask questions, whether it's with the patient or their family, and back to the referral. So the wound clinics and the hospitals, home health, if they're dealing with them. So they have to understand all of that information, because once that information gets to the billing team, it's almost being reactive and it's going to delay getting claims paid. So that billing team isn't there to clean up anything. It's there to just verify that everything is good to go so they can submit the claim and get paid properly without having all the challenges that come with it. So having a well-rounded intake team, so then that makes your billing team even well-rounded, is so vital. So it's important to even look at the staff, look at the steps, the processes as you go along to see where they're at as far as how they flow, to make sure that you're not touching orders too much, but yet you're capturing all the information you need. So that's so vital. And I'm sure Heather, you see that probably, right? When you're
Absolutely.
Working with the, yeah.
Absolutely. And to be successful in wound care, I will just piggyback on Rhonda, what she said, because having a very well-educated sales team and staff, anywhere from the from the person, you know, the customer service to the end billing and out, you know, follow-up team, resupply team. It's to be well educated on not only wound care, that you don't have to be a clinician to be on the DME staff, but it's very helpful and useful to know a little bit about wound care. And that's some service that I provide, is help educating about wounds and why they form and why they don't heal. And then also just, you know, basically understanding the LCD and the policy, like Rhonda said, you really need to know all of that. And it's so you can have the conversations with the patient, for the, you know, with the referral source, with the insurance company, so you can have an intelligent conversation with them.
And I'll just add something quickly too, Heather, because we've done this with our membership, is, and I've seen this when I was a supplier, to rely also on your manufacturers that yes. you get the products from, right? So like Heather said, you don't need to be the clinician, but if you're an intake or billing, what I found is, and what we see is, just knowing a little bit about how that product looks or works, at least you have a visual of that versus just numbers or requirements, you know, that can confuse you because you don't understand all of it. But you just need, if you can see how something works or looks like, that can help you so much. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. That was the last point I was going to make in this podcast. So good job, oh. Rhonda.
Oh, sorry. Well, we can, that's how we can circle back around that at the end to remind everybody.
But I think both of you have commented on some of the things that for them to be successful, it's well-rounded, but that just gives their patients and, you know, the people they're talking with a good experience with them, right? So if I come in and I've never had to deal with a wound before, I have no idea about the process and what's happening. So making sure the team can walk somebody through that quickly and accurately and answer questions, I mean, absolutely, that's going to impact the success of their wound care programs.
And it's going to build their referral source. I mean, it's going to build your population that you serve, because word of mouth will travel.
Yeah, those, once they see that you have that well-rounded customer service intake sales team, that will, yeah, like Heather said, that word of mouth will go far. So,
yeah. And really, you know, and I'm sure you two experience this as well. You know, the very successful wound care companies I see out there, as well as a successful DME, is the customer service. I mean, we all want to be taken care of and heard. I think that's a really very, very strong point to make as well.
I totally agree with that, Heather.
Yep, absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about all of these categories in wound care, because all of these various categories have different operational logistics. So tell me about those, Heather.
Okay, I won't get into the dirty details on the logistics, but I will tell you that when we talk about wound care, the categories covered that we generally talk in DME are dressings, like Rhonda said, surgical dressings, negative pressure wound therapy, therapeutic support surfaces, compression, and nutrition. Those are kind of the five basic that we cover. Each one of those has different operational logistics, and also depending on where the point of service is for the product, that's very important to know. And it's different in all categories. So just when you say, I want to get into wound care, it could be all of those. It could be one of those categories. And we have at BGM, in regards to helping our members out with this on where to go, what are the codes, where do I start, how do I provide it, is it drop ship, do I drop it off at the patient's home? You know, all these questions, we can help you out with that. We have a ton of resources too on our members only portal, but that's what I'll give you. I'll just give you a little bit of a carrot here to dangle, to reach out to us if you are interested. We can go over all of that information. We have a wound care program guide. We have a directory, wound care directory, that also hits on some of these operational logistics.
Right.
Does that answer your question, Mandy?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. And so what I think is going to work really well for our listeners is, okay, we're hearing like, yes, yes, I get it. Good intake, good customer service. There's a lot of options, but sometimes these real life scenarios are where the rubber meets the road, right? You're like, oh yeah, I get that. I can see how that might play out. So you and Rhonda, Heather and Rhonda, you're both doing a segment on Heartland on this, which is awesome. So again, I'm going to do just a super fast plug for Heartland. If you haven't registered, that's June 12th through the 14th here in Waterloo, Iowa. So please make sure to register for that, bgmheartland.com, so you can see these two lovely ladies in action. But let's talk a little bit about these scenarios, dressings, negative pressure wound therapy, whichever ones you want to talk about, and how you handle some of those questions.
I have two, and reason I brought up I have two is because the first one I'm going to talk about, we just did a webinar about post PHE guidance. So if you need to listen to that, I know that recording is on our members only portal, but this, what helps with wound care is the telehealth, right? So an example for suppliers post PHE is knowing when they can use telehealth. In DME in general, the language that exists for telehealth is the patient has to go to an originating site and it's audio and video, and they're generally in a rural area because they can't get to a specialist is why they're doing telehealth. So that's the language that we know that exists, and that language is still there. It hasn't changed. Because of the pandemic, they're allowing some flexibilities through the pandemic and even post PHE with telehealth. The tricky thing with telehealth is knowing when it applies to each policy. So if a policy says in-person visit, those words, in-person visit, that means a patient has to do an in-person visit. If the language in the policy says face-to-face, that means face-to-face can be in-person visit or telehealth. Telehealth still has to be audio and video to comply with DME requirements. So there are policies in the wound care market that allow for telehealth. Now, I'm not a fan of telehealth for DME because when you're dealing, especially wounds, when you're dealing with wounds, you'd want your treating practitioners to be able to see your wounds and be able to measure them and see a good visual of them to make sure that they're healing properly. Or if they're obviously, if they're new wounds, they need to see those. So in-person visits are obviously always better, but if for some reason a telehealth visit needs to occur, it's an option. And that does apply to some wound care policies post PHE with that Consolidated Appropriation Act that's in place through December of 24. So we have some flexibilities post PHE with telehealth. So if you want to know more, we're going to talk about that as a scenario at our session at Heartland.
So I
come
love
for
it.
That one. Yeah. The other one I wanted to share, and we see this a lot too with Heather and I, is this really applies to either surgical dressings. Sometimes I feel like it applies to negative pressure with their supplies, but sometimes patients need more dressing changes, so they'll need a higher quantity than what an insurance will allow. And so suppliers are usually going, what do I need to get this paid for? Well, you need to have proof in the documentation. So the reason that their quantities are set at the levels that they're at is because the insurances, whether it's traditional Medicare or another payer, they've done their research and they know that usually an up to quantity that they see or they have in policy on a dressing is what a patient generally needs. They don't want to pay above and beyond that because that's obviously cost money. So if a patient does need above and beyond that, the medical records that you get from that wound clinic or from the hospitalist need to justify why there's a higher need for a patient to change a dressing more frequently than what is recommended. So a claim generally will deny and you'll have to go through appeal. So that's why you have to have that documentation. If the documentation doesn't exist, it's okay to even charge the patient the difference and don't feel bad about that. The patient needs or wants something beyond what the insurance covers, and that's their right to have that. They just may have to pay out of pocket if they can't get the supporting information from their treating practitioner. So those are two scenarios that I thought I'd share on the podcast for today. I know Heather has some good ones too. So what do you have, girl?
All right. So a couple of the questions that I get, and those are really, Rhonda, those are great ones. Thanks for sharing those. When I get a call for somebody that's just getting into wound care or deciding if they want to get into wound care, They say, where do I start? We do have a wound care guide that I highly recommend downloading from our members only portal, because it does really give you a step-by-step guide. But I'll give you one. Deciding if wound care is right for your business. And again, like, you know, what category do you choose? Where you should start, or where I would recommend you start, is ask the referral sources you're currently working with. Hey, do you see a need for wound care? Where do you currently get, you know, dressings or negative pressure wound therapy or support surfaces? Where do you currently get those items for your patients at? What do you like about what they do? What don't you like that they do? And that's where I would start. And then as you build upon that, some of the potential referral sources that you may reach out to would be like wound care centers, podiatry offices, vascular clinics, your diabetic educators, physical therapy clinics, plastic surgeon offices. And then also, again, you know how we talked about point of service for wound care. Your home health agencies are also a great referral source if you have a good relationship with them. For surgical dressings, you do have to wait till that patient is off a home health episode before you could supply them with dressings with Medicare Part B. But for negative pressure wound therapy, you could provide that patient with negative pressure wound therapy while they're on home health. So that's just kind of a scenario that I get in regards to where do I start. Another one of my questions, and I think that this is something that we just really, you know, obviously a common sentence, a common idea, scenario, whatever. How do I become successful in wound care? And again, it's having a well-educated team, providing value every time you touch the patient, every time you talk to the referral source, give a value add, I think, and really knowing the LCD and the policy is very, very important. So those are a couple scenarios that I had.
No, those are really good ones, because it is common ones that value add that you just mentioned is the key.
Yes.
I feel like that's the key in the with your referrals, because the products are the products. We all have access to those. It's your knowledge and your education that you're going to do not only with your patients and their families, but sharing that with your referrals. So that value add is so important. And if you can show you're helping to keep those patients from getting readmitted to hospitals, especially with negative pressure, that, you know, or if they're on support surfaces, that's huge with your referrals. So if you can collect data, even we've seen that with some of our members, mm-hmm. right, Heather?
Yes.
You collect that data and you can share that even with your insurances to say, hey, look what I'm doing. We might be able to negotiate some things with those insurances, whether it's a higher fee schedule or what it be, whatever it may be. So, right?
Yep, absolutely. Good point.
So if you have these companies out there who are trying to figure this out, right? They're trying to decide, are we going to go into wound care? Which categories do we want to do? You know, Heather, you've mentioned a number of resources, but what's like the one top thing you would tell them? Like, I always just think like, don't be scared, right? Like just ask us and we can help. But what are kind of those top tips you would tell them for really looking at why they should do wound care? You know, as we talk, everybody has skin and everybody mm-hmm. can get a wound. So it's for everyone. So how do you get them to kind of push over and say, yeah, we do need to do this?
So Mandy, that's a really good question. You know, how do we just start with wound care? You really need to look at the nuts and bolts of your business and see if there is a need out there from your referral sources. Then let's dive into the products and look at how much is it going to cost me to bring these products in, and what is my reimbursement rate? What's my allowable? What's my contract to the referral source? And really look at that. We want to provide products that are, you know, that have clinical outcomes, but yes, we're still in a business. You know, we want to make sure that we're going to be able to provide these to our patients or referral sources, but still stay in business. That's what I would say. That's kind of what we look into. And VGM, we're contracted with really wonderful vendor partners. And so we can work with the vendor partners to look into that. They can help us build formularies so we can provide, you know, really great product and not sacrifice clinical outcomes. And I have to say that's, you know, I lean heavily on them. We work together great. And members want to work with vendors that are easy to work with. And that's what I would say is that's where we start. If somebody comes back to me and says, okay, yep, I want to get into wound care, it's needed, that's where we start. Okay, what category? Let's break it down. Let's look at if it's surgical dressings, let's look at the formulary. And then I have them, you know, meet and reach out to the manufacturer and say, okay, which one do you like best? And then we go from there.
Yeah, and I would just piggyback on what you're saying, Heather, is know your market. Mm-hmm. So you need to know who has that market already, or is there anyone that has it? And if there is a supplier that's out there that has the market, maybe they're not doing as good of a job as what you think. So talking to those key referral sources, like Heather mentioned, you know, whether it's in the therapist or home health or a wound clinic or a hospital, talking to those groups to see what their needs are and how you can meet them. And it may start small, but it will build. But you have to look at, because the world I live in too, that you have to look at those reimbursements, because they're not always that great with payers. So you want to look at those reimbursements and how you can think outside the box to make sure that you're keeping the financial health of your business on your radar as well, because you don't want to lose on those products. You want to make sure that you're meeting your margins that you need. So keep that in mind.
Absolutely. Great. Yeah, great tips. Thank you both for sharing those. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about what other tools are available for suppliers working in the wound care market and what that looks like.
You bet. Boy, we have built a very robust wound care program, and we have anything you want. We on the members only portal, there's a ton of resources on there. Rhonda has helped build two surgical dressing guides, negative pressure wound therapy guides. And what they do is they walk you through the medical policy and LCD in kind of a it's a very understandable flow. So we have those. We have a wound care manual, which give you the basics on wound care. I always recommend when I'm first having a call with a member that they download the wound care program guide and the wound care manual and go over that, because that'll tell them a little bit about wound care and then give them just kind of a 40,000 foot view of the whole operation of it. There's recorded webinars on the members only portal that when we have a discussion, either, you know, in any of the categories, I direct our members to listen to recorded ones that we've had in the past. And of course, we have upcoming ones all the time. So keep your eyes and ears out for those. There's forms and documents. So if you are just starting a program and you're like, I don't want to recreate the wheel, we do have forms and documents that you can utilize and customize to your company. We have a list of all the vendor partners. So if you're thinking about getting into one of the categories, you know, you can look and see who are the vendor partners out there. And it's been really helpful because I get people that call. I did last week, actually, I had a member call in and say, I need to do negative pressure wound therapy and I don't even know where to start. And so we started, she said, who are the vendors you work with? So that's where we started. And then there's just podcasts on there. There's a discussion board, which is huge. There was last week, there was a gentleman who was selling some items and for negative pressure wound therapy. And he said, do you know of anybody that it would be willing to purchase them? And I said, put it on the discussion board. He's like, I didn't even think about that. So we have that I think is underutilized because, you know, it's the discussion board is for members to talk to members peer to peer. And so that's a really great resource. There's also a section that's exclusive content. So any of the new guides, documents that we have, you can find it in the exclusive content. So, I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And if you can't find it, you can always reach out to me and I can help.
I was going to have you talk about one of the tools I like because of the world I live in is the profitability calculators.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yes.
Those are huge.
Yeah. Thanks, Rhonda. So for surgical dressings, therapeutic support services, and negative pressure wound therapy, we have a profitability calculator. So you can see exactly what your return on investment is going to be. And then that will help you answer the question, is this business right for my business? Is this category right for my business? So I can walk you through that. It's a simple document that you can download to your desktop and, you know, you can use it and see, you just put in your allowable and then put in your product cost and it will spit out your gross profit. Thanks,
yeah,
Rhonda.
Those profitability calculators, because I know we have them for some other areas outside of wound care, are important to use because with nowadays, especially with the allowables, the way they are, whether it's traditional Medicare or other payers that follow traditional Medicare, their allowables are very tight. So you have to look at that to make sure that you're not losing because it is a business that you're running. So make sure you take advantage of that and use those tools. So yes, very good.
Great information. Any last words of advice, anything like that, that you want to touch on before we tell everyone goodbye for this time?
I would just say, if you're interested in wound care, please reach out. We can help you. And if you're already in wound care and you're thinking of elevating your game in the wound care market or space, please let us know. That's what we're here for.
Absolutely. And, you know, and if you do have a lot of questions, we hope to see you at Heartland, just for our session, right? It's how the networking, as a former supplier, I found the networking to be one of my most beneficial pieces of Heartland because you have a like person, a peer that you can reach out to beyond Heartland to discuss issues with your business or to vent because we all have issues with the DME industry, but Heartland is the way to do that. So hopefully we'll see you in June.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, thank you again, Heather and Rhonda, for taking time out of your busy schedules, because I know how hectic they are, and to talk on this podcast and help our members out. And, you know, we will absolutely see you in June.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mandy and Rhonda.
Yes, thanks, ladies.
Thank you for listening to Industry Matters. Make sure you never miss an episode by visiting vgm.com/Industry Matters Podcast. Or following Industry Matters on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Stitcher.